Let me just have a look at these questions. I've got quite a lot here. Let's start off with these questions. I'll start at the top. And if we've already asked them, just tell me to move on. Brian said, I came in late and I don't know if someone has asked a question. If I have a client site that has some age on it and they never really build many links to it, I came along and built 3 months worth of links and ranking were doing well until August, then bam, nothing and nowhere to be found. How do I know it should be scrapped or if it should be brought back to life by strategic article and social media building content?
Yeah, the problem is that names all of the things we tell people not to do. And so he said link building needs to strategic articles. There's no such thing. And so really it's about a conversation with the marketplace, pure, plain, and simple. And so for that site, given what he described, where it hasn't had a long history of bad stuff, that one I know we could rescue through reconsideration. That wouldn't be tough. But it's not enough just to do a reconsideration. You also have to do good marketing. And so we would start that person at the very, very beginning of the Link Liberation 3 outline with, let me go show you exactly what that would entail. So we'd have to define the marketplace and the persona and the voice of the marketplace. And so section one or week one of Link Liberation is really about, it's Leslie's Guide to Dating. You know, figure out who your market is and figure out what your differentiating factor is. And then in week two, we talk about how to actually build an audience from scratch. Because if you build an audience around it, and we start with, of all things, Twitter, because it's really easy to test your audience and start getting awareness. And we've had people launch their website with Twitter. There's actually, it's not a custom ours, we actually launched a mobile app using their Twitter channel. And so it rocketed a number one in their category in the App Store the day it came out, because they already had this huge Twitter following, and they just posted a link, right?
Yeah.
And so you can do things like that to start shoring up, kind of creating a good link profile to offset the bad one while also going through the reconsideration process.
Great, okay. This one from Eric. Does the disavow tool remove all links? What about the good links? The tool doesn't appear to allow you to specify which links one wants to disavow. Doesn't it?
It's the sites the links are coming from. And so, again, if you have more than one link from the same page, well, I got news. you're thinking about a game. And so, no, the disavow tool, you name the source page for the links, and any number of links on that source page are what you're disavowing.
Yeah, great, okay. Chris, will there be a link to the presentation to listen to it again? We hope so. I think Andrea's recorded this, so... fingers crossed, yes, there will be.
Okay,
fantastic session, thank you very much. I'm going to go away and buy the course straight away. Okay, great.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll look forward to having you in the program. Try to, change webmasters one at a time. Really, seriously. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Let me just go through these. Someone said that GoDaddy servers are ranked lower by Google. Is there any merit in that whatsoever?
None. However, a whole variety of things can happen about ranking, but it's not really about like their server IP necessarily. So no, I don't really buy that. Now, if you're talking about like placeholding pages, coming soon under construction pages, yeah, very definitely that's the case. But
yeah.
The IP, frankly, is not used in any ranking algorithm. So no, I don't buy that. I don't buy that
yeah.
at all.
Someone wants to know about keyword density. Does that play any role anymore at all?
Yes, it does. Key phrase density is actually the way it should be. But it's about the string of words all taken together. And so that was my example of vacation rentals. And so if you do something like vacation rental is a great way to make sure that you can take more vacations without worrying about like the rental price of hotels. See, so I've used vacation rentals, the phrase, and vacation and rentals separately within that sentence. That's okay, but if I do that very many times on the page, there's no way to not view that as keyword stuffing. Because if my next sentence is, a vacation rental and a rental, and not having to worry about the rental of a hotel. So when you do, so when you go stage at your vacation rental, right, say, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, is that the right way to do that, or should I have used a pronoun to reference back to my previous sentence? See, so keyword density now was never a positive ranking factor at Google, by the way. Now it's a negative factor because it flags you in a filter, and most particularly the Penguin.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. question from Raul, I think it's, have a question that's killing me. I actually have good Google rankings for most of the keywords. The problem is that my website does not convert, so I'm working on changing it almost completely, but with some URLs. Could my Google rankings suffer? What can I do in order to maintain my rankings?
Okay, yeah. Now, this is about the so-called, you know, like site move or CMS move, something like that. And that is actually, I don't, that material, it, I mean, it's technical, and that's in our White Hat Black Belt product, actually, rather than the Link Liberation 3, which is, you know, is not focused that way. We could certainly make that information available to you as a customer, but if there is a process that we go through, a two-step process of using canonicals and then redirects. Because changing URLs will, in fact, during the process of changing, will absolutely hurt your rankings. Now, that said, there's almost never a need to change URLs, so I would recommend, first and foremost, just try not to. If your website's not converting, right, then that's about, it's not about the URL, it's about the, what's on your pages, or about the quality of traffic you're getting. And so all of those get back to the whole, you know, marketing. It's all about your marketing. And so if you're engaging the right people in the right conversation, that's what you should be concerned about.
Great. One from Fran here. I'm not so big on the social stuff, but if I had to pick one kind to focus on, which would you recommend? Facebook, Google+, blah, 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 blah.
Well, the one that's getting the most uplift and it's, you know, changes with time, and it also depends to some extent on your market. I mean, in some markets, LinkedIn is a better choice than Facebook, for example. So there's, you know, you don't really... A priori, there's no simple answer to that, and Google Plus also has its effect. It's not a direct ranking factor, but in some markets, again, it's key. Like in the techie market, you know, like if Robert Scoble is your demographic, then yeah, Google Plus is great. So while there's no single fixed answer, there is a process for determining that, and there's kind of one set of processes to manage it. So you don't have to be good at it. It really doesn't matter what the answer is, as long as you have a process for dealing with it so that it's effective.
Great. One from Julian here. This might be an ignorant question, but is having affiliate links on a page going to go against you?
No, it's not. I mean, that's been one of those things that's been rumored about for many, many, many years. And you should probably go ahead and no-follow them, which is, a, you know, the so-called best practice on that. But the real question is whether or not an affiliate model is right for your business or something like that, not whether or not it's a ranking factor.
Okay. Does Google penalize all of your sites if you have link spam on one? Like if you've got all your sites on, this is from David, if you've got all your sites on Webmaster Tools, he's probably saying there, do they look at your other sites? Because
no, I mean, unless they're connected, which they likely are. He says that where people really fall down on this, they have all their stuff tied together.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, one domain that's built right and is in a business that's decent business beats 100 that's not. And
yeah.
So mostly I recommend if you have a whole bunch of domains and you really need to ask your question why, maybe you should get one to work.
And there's one here, similar question, but if you've got you know, your domains on the same server and
Again, not a problem. It's back in the old days, we talked about different IP, different class C IP, and yada, 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 right? All that was about hiding what we were doing from Google. Once you kind of do the right thing, and once you're the poster child for Matt Cutts, you know, when you can actually go up and show Matt Cutts every damn thing you're doing, open up your laptop and let him in Google Analytics, right? If you can do that, then you have nothing to hide. You can put everything all on one IP address.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Do you consider press releases and guest blogging real marketing?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, I think I have to go back and see where that is. That's in week 11. And that's it by itself. People get these things in the wrong order. I mean, if you look at the way the 12 weeks are ordered, you know, we talk about audience building, and then we talk about abstracting and blogging on your own domains in week 5. And then we start in week 7 and beyond is where you start leveraging your audience into other channels, you know, constructing a team, consulting if you want to, because almost everybody ends up doing some consulting because their neighbor finds out they're good at webs, right? But guest blogging outreach is actually in 11 and then press and public relations in 12. And so those work best when you already have the audience, where you already have actually kind of established what your voice and what your brand is, so that you could say the right thing and do the right thing with the press releases.
Great, okay. This is one from my pal Tony here. On a day-to-day basis, what indicators do you measure to make sure your web business is on the right track?
Day-to-day is a little bit too often. Day-to-day, I would measure my business processes possibly to make things we're actually getting done. I get, you know, dealing with clients on a one-to-one basis. Sometimes I find out that, well, they're supposed to be doing 5 articles a day or, you know, whatever, and no, they're not. Not every day. It's like, okay, we'll get that process cleaned up. And so you want to be monitoring the internal processes very, very closely in your business, as in all businesses. What I would do is, you know, in terms of engagement metrics in the social spaces, more like weekly, and in terms of the longer-term stuff and having to do with organic and referral and direct source traffic in Google Analytics, I'd be looking at that no more often than weekly, more likely every month. Once I've really started up, you know, when I first start a website, I'll probably look at it weekly until it's really up to make sure that I want to make sure it's not broken, right? But once I realize it's not broken, then every month is good enough.
Great. Okay. One from Dave here. What types of lessons are on the course?
Oh, what's that? It's all video instruction. Well, it's mostly video instruction. Almost all of it is video instruction. We keep, you know, like in any particular week, there may be a low of 5 and a high of 9. Different videos. They're kept short. They're focused on one particular practice or teaching point, if you will. There's a Q&A on each. I think I already have the slide about that. Course structure. Do I have that in here? I said this so many times I can't remember what I say. And so there's a Q&A on each video, so you can ask a question and get answers either from your fellow students, past graduates, or our support staff. Or in the most complex case, it gets escalated to Dan and me, and we actually answer the question ourselves. So there's actually feedback on each one of the videos, and the stream of contents stays there forever. There is some downloadable. There's worksheets and checklists, and we just went through. Dan just did a webinar in week, whatever the heck week we're in, 7 or 8, in the batch of students, where that's, you know, what came out of that was a new set of checklists because some things have changed recently.
Yeah, great. Okay. Eric says, is there a sandbox period for brand new sites? Can you talk about new sites in a particular market?
Yeah, there was never really a sandbox exactly. There were a whole collage of factors that hit different sites differently during what I would refer to as the honeymoon period or the post-honeymoon period, depending upon whose sandbox you're talking about. And that's the problem. There were almost like no two reports of sandbox that looked the same. And so, part of the things that happens when a brand new site goes up is that there are some guest values that have to go into its ranking. And then depending upon how fast you actually build, you hit the guest, you don't hit the guest, you exceed the guest. And so your rankings may go up suddenly, they will go down suddenly, or stay the same. And depending on which category you're in, you get a honeymoon effect, you get no effect, you get a post-honeymoon effect. Well, okay, but the honeymoon effect was the time it took Google to do real measurements on your site after they first discovered it and assigned guest values.
Okay. One here from Robert Jones about the course again. I'm only about SEO and AdWords work charge per month for local businesses. Will this course help me? Will I learn to help a dentist or plumber? Thanks, Rob.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because here's the thing is that and local is such a mess, and it's probably going to shift a lot. Now, I didn't really talk about that in terms of my one-year time horizon, you know, guessing about how all that is. And it's very clear that, you know, that local and mobile are where the puck is going. However, you know, how search works in that context is going to be largely similar. We're going to have to wait and see exactly what the differences are. But in terms of a local business and consulting for local business in particular, we have lots and lots of people who do that. You know, Becky, one of my case studies, about 75% of her folks are actually local. But she focuses on the natural traffic, which is organic from search, and referral traffic from other domains that have linked to them, and then direct traffic, type-in traffic. The reason to do that is what we call the searcher life cycle, and there's a compositing happens, the kind of a mutual uplift or synergy that happens between organic and paid traffic sources. Okay, so that what can easily happen is if you're running paid, your organic goes up and vice versa. And so you definitely want to be found in organic, particularly for long-tail traffic, even if ultimately that person hits a paid link or types in your domain name or company name and hits your top listing, which is the so-called navigational query. all those things interact so that you actually get uplift on everything by going after the organic, even for a local business.
Great. Thank you.
And I should cap that. Like I said, Becky does her primary service offering to her local businesses is abstracting. And the thing she's added on top of that is full article writing and also press releases. Sorry. So go ahead.
Sounds like a good service.
Yeah.
One from Heidi here. Can you put the slide up again that outlines everything in the
process? Yeah. Yeah, I guess I probably should leave that up. Sorry. I'm happy to ask questions about that.
And one from Diana. Is LL Pro the same as LL 3?
Oh, sorry. Well, So there are actually two editions. We're not in market for either one of these. And again, you know, Kenny kind of resurfaced after our original launch of LL3, which was in June? I don't remember. The two version, we'll have a scaled down version of LL3 eventually, but the LL3 professional edition is the 12-week one that has everything in it. And so literally, when you go through the first 8 weeks, the eighth week here, expanding your reach, is how to use success in one channel to launch into another channel. And actually, we start talking about that initially during audience building in week two, where we actually teach one of the ways to use Link Liberation 3 is to actually build build your Twitter channel, build a following and an audience there, and refine your message and who your market, who your customer avatar is, even before having a website. And then you can actually launch your website with traffic the very first day by just putting one link in Twitter. And so that's kind of almost a cross-channel strategy there. But we expand on that in week eight to YouTube and Pinterest and the list, LinkedIn, the list goes on, right? And again, by knowing your customer avatar and knowing how to find them in these different places and these different channels, it's all additive. And so once you've developed a following in one, you can branch over into a following in another. It's like jumping from one pond to the next.
Great. One from Jean here. Does the course go through the processes in detail?
Yeah. Sometimes Dan feels it's a little bit tedious, but he does. He has a look over your shoulder stuff. So the first time that happens is putting it in the practice in week three, and then it happens again in practice week number two and week six. And he just did it again as part of week seven and week eight because of the new social outreach tools, some changes in the Twitter API and things like that. He had to change it up. And so in literally, I think we had 204 people actually attending that live demonstration that Dan did just last week for the course participants. So, yeah, we actually go through it like button press by button press, which almost drives Dan into heart palpitations. But he does it anyway, and there are cases where people go, oh, okay, now I get it. Yeah, I missed that. And so that's the reason we do it.
Yeah, great. One from Jerry here. Oh, I'm looking at the website, SEOBT. It's asking me for login. It's seobt.co/Kenny3 and then
the letter
O. And I've put it there in the chat.
Yeah. That domain is just a shortener domain. It's a shortening domain. So.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. One from Ray here. How can I sell this new type of marketing? Most of my clients expect link building, etc. How long does it take before tangible results can be reported? What type of results can one promise a new client?
Okay, well, let's talk about some real case studies. All right, so first of all, what we found is we've had this almost generational shift in our marketplace over the last 2 years. Dan and I actually historically have been teaching e-commerce professionals how to build a business online and sell stuff, right, solid goods and information. What we found over the last 2 years is that we've had a huge shift to people doing consulting, and so we've accommodated that in all of our courses. And so in Link Liberation Pro, that's in week 10, and that's an expanding piece. That's actually, if you look at the stuff that we've done, the content that we've done, that's been the most commented about and the highest attendance. It's been the stuff that we've been doing on consulting. And so you go about consulting exactly the same way you go about doing anything else. You find the differentiating factor. You would look at the conversation in the marketplace, and you make yourself different. So what I'm teaching, and Link, this is covered in Link Liberation 10. Sorry, Link Liberation 10. Wow, that's skipping out a few years. So let's see, which year would that be? Anyway, so 7 years from now. No. So in week 10, and most of that content is mine. Dan's doing some of it too because we both have a deep background in consulting. But what I teach there is to not actually sell the same service. Instead, go in with a differentiated message that says, I'm here to talk about your business and help you grow your business through online sources. And so let's talk about that and how I can be the best help to you. And by changing that conversation, you will win against everybody who's selling links. And because everybody, you know, bear in mind that the customer, your customer, doesn't have a clue what you're talking about when they talk about link building. They don't know how many links they need. They don't really care. They've been trained by your competition to go have that discussion, and they don't really want to have it. And they don't actually know, well, how much is a link worth to their business, right? They know what a lead is worth, or if they don't, you need to teach them how to figure that out. All right, so a dental practice needs more customers walking in the door. They need people to actually spend more money. They need to come back more often. They need to have a higher percentage of their customer base that it's not what's called a hygiene hog. I learned that from a dentist. And so those are the kind of things, when you have those conversations with your client, you set yourself completely apart from everybody else that's out there selling services. Now, how often can you, how soon can you get results? Actually, very quickly, depending upon the client. Very few of the local business in particular have much in the way of footprint on the web. And so some of the, you know, your mileage will differ, batteries not included, but you, once you actually start, you know, fire the go gun, I mean, it can be 4 to 6 weeks before you start seeing meaningful uplift, like doubling of organic source traffic. And again, having the conversation with the client about business results. So here we have an uplift in source traffic. Here's a, again, non-paid source traffic. Here's like the number of times in a week that your phone rang, or the number of times someone filled out a lead form, those kinds of discussions instead of just how many links I built.
Okay. Question, do I need to buy additional tools as well?
No. Actually, we recommend that you use basically all the standard free stuff. If you wanted, you know, if you're trying to recover from a ranking penalty, you're going to want to sign up for Majestic, do your own link analysis. What else is in here? Let me see. You're going to put up a domain, possibly more than one, maybe not, depending on your market. If you're doing consulting, no, there's nothing at all. Consulting? Nope. Sorry, nothing in there. The only thing we recommend are actually free tools. Now, if you want to use Hootsuite instead of Buffer App, and you know, or yeah, you may end up spending a little bit of money here and there, but only if you want to.
Right. Okay. One from Paul here. I won't mention your surname, Paul. Does this work with adult sites?
Yeah, it can. I mean, there's nothing that stops it from working from that. It's just about where you go to get engagement and that kind of thing, and, you know, hosting. There are a bunch of problems with adult sites just in terms of how that's treated by the community, if you will, of the web, despite the fact that still 30% of all searches are for adult content. It absolutely can work. It's just you're somewhat more limited in, for example, you can't do outreach on Facebook very readily.
Here's a good question, actually. This is from Daryl. Will this work for one-time purchase products that are not remotely sexy and are only kind of bought urgently when needed? So, secure for hives or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we have examples of that in our customer base. I mean, that's what's so-called a transactional business, and so it's like a plumber. Nobody actually searches ahead of time and for a plumber. They only do it when the bathroom sink is stopped up. So, yes, it can work for that, and there are various ways to do it. Litigation attorneys. There's one of our star pupils works as a does consulting, but he specializes for a different kind of attorneys. What's it called in the United States? It'll occur to me 5 minutes after the phone call. But that's one where, again, you don't think ahead of time. Do I need this kind of an attorney? No one searches for an attorney until they absolutely have to have one. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the customer base he markets for very effectively, by the way.
Great, okay. This one from Brian. What if a client's site is just ugly and has no content? Does any of the early chapters cover this, or can I get some support in that area?
Well, I mean, not really. First of all, if you know it's ugly, then you can probably, ultimately you can't make a wooden box fly, right? I mean, you can actually put it wings on it and a motor. And so, yeah, if it's so ugly it won't convert at all, you're going to have that hard conversation with a client and get that fixed. On the other hand, if it converts at least one in a million, right, getting more traffic is a help. It's just, it would be a lot more efficient if you could make the damn thing convert better. I agree that, you know, grant with that. So, if you know it's ugly, then work with the client to fix it. Now, we also have, and we certainly give you resources. Our, who we would recommend you to go to if you want to learn conversion. We don't actually have a conversion course per se, but there are lots of people. Actually, you know what? No, as part of this, well, see, that would be in our gold membership program. You get access. I mean, so actually, there's a way. I'd have to get a little look up what the price of that is, but it's I think it's like nearly nothing. Call it a round-off error. You know what? We can just throw that in. I'll throw it in. Yeah, no, yeah. So, okay, well, I'll have to add that. So, yeah, it's what we call our master's track. And so what Andrea does is she invites in guests on a recurring basis. So every month we have between 2 and 4 experts come in and teach on their particular area of expertise. And this, I'm doing this off the cuff, and so I don't have a slide, right? So, you know, sue me. But it's, you know, we've had an entire series on highly converting e-commerce websites, and there was, I think there were 6 in that, 6 different people who came in and talked about website conversion and did actual live site analyses. And then there was like a 5 or 6 part video series on outsourcing. And then there was 3 times, I think, we've had Dennis Vanderheiden come in and do conversion analysis case studies. Right now, today, Andrea is not on this phone call as she normally would be because she's doing, who's she working with today? I have to look at my calendar. I can never keep track of where she's at. She is doing, she's with, Howie Jacobson for the second time to do the avatar method, which, by the way, is the foundation for what we do in week 1 concerning studying your marketplace and making that, you know, figuring out who your real customer is. And so all of those things go out to what we call our silver membership or our master's track members. And that is, it's, we've repriced it recently to it's a really fantastic good deal. But for anybody that buys through your link, you know what, I'll throw it in.
Oh, excellent.
And so there's actually, when after you pass through your 30-day mark, then what happens is it unlocks all of your downloads for the entire archive, which goes back to, I want to say, February of 2011.
Excellent. That's great. Yeah. Thanks, Leslie.
Yeah, I'm going to make a note of that. Unlocked silver for Kenny.
I'm sure you'll get reminded.
Okay.
For local SEO, this is from Joshua. For local SEO, the algorithm definitely shifts taking citations, business directory listings, Google Plus local optimization, etc. Are you confident that even without these things, the program will outrank people that are?
Well, you see, there's actually several things going on with local. And so the place for citations and that kind of stuff actually has a direct influence is in your location in the 7-pack or 5-pack or however many pack appears. I mean, it varies wildly depending upon the market and time of day. And so those things have a direct influence there. On how filled out your Places Pluses page is, those kind of things. So those kind of factors are limited to that what used to be called the map results, which is now not really a map. The stuff around it, and there sometimes will be 3 above and sometimes 3 organic results and sometimes not. If those are influenced at all by things like Yelp, it's only in those cases where those review sites still allow Google to spider them. and more that's not the case. And so what you'll actually find is there's 2 different things you're optimizing at the same time. So you are optimizing the power of the organic ranking that's going to occur irrespective of what happens on maps. And then depending upon the maps and the importance of maps, you're also going to be optimizing that. So now, how do you balance them? Well, first thing is it appears that the more power there is in the organic results, they may actually push ahead, you know, push atop of the maps or not. And it's too complicated to even have a glimmer of ever proving whether it's true or not. But you will see those cases where there's 3 organic results and then the map results, and sometimes not. The other thing you can show is that the clicks through on the map are not nearly as attractive to website visitors, to Google searchers, as the organic. And the reason is there is so little hint about what you're clicking on. the description is just not very compelling. When you look at what they end up putting in maps, even a quote-unquote highly optimized maps result, it's like, you got nothing. I mean, if you know that's who you want to click on, then you're going to click on it. So it's almost like clicking on a paid ad when you know that that's the company you're looking for. But they don't give enough information because there's no search snippet. So what we're finding is still people almost have map blindness like they do pay-per-click blindness. And if you look at the numbers, you'll find that only about 12% of clicks on a search result page are on the pay listings, despite the fact they occur at the top. And so it's a version of banner blindness, and we're seeing that to some extent on maps.
Right, okay. One from Joan here. What's the best platform to build a website on?
Hands down, it's WordPress, and it has nothing to do with technology. It's about the mass of people who know it and about the number of things you can add to it. It's the ultimate Swiss Army knife.
Great, okay. Question from Josh here. Does your program touch on establishing rapport with blog sites for guest blogging, or is your point that it's natural once you join the conversation?
Well, yes and no. And so the first part, no, and the second part, yes, kind of. And so we talk about becoming a market leader by engaging. So, for example, now when we teach abstracting, we teach to leave a followed link to the original in the blog post, and people say, oh, but you're bleeding page rank. Well, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I taught you that. But the reality is now what we do is we want the track back behavior to occur so that the blogger you're talking about can discover you from talking about them, and then you kind of join it shows that you're actually joining the conversation. They can actually hear you speak, to get back to my, you know, barroom dating analogy. And so when that happens, they discover you over a period of time and will reach out to you. Now, when we actually get into week 11, we actually have guest blogging taught through it, I think, 11 videos by Erica Douglas. And that's some crazy good stuff that she teaches there, and that's specifically about doing guest blogging outreach.
Yeah, great, okay. One from Heidi here. So are we still doing articles and adding them to places like eZine?
Under no circumstances. I mean, that is at best a zero revenue behavior. Oh, by the way, we used to teach that, but that has become such a cesspool that we stopped. And so we actually have not been teaching it since. In fact, it was taken out during the summer. We re-curriculumed before the LL2 release. And so we have not been teaching that since the summer of 2010.
Okay. One here from Eric. He said he would tell us how to maintain client accounts without showing rankings. Can you expand on that?
I'm not sure I understand the question. We maintain client accounts without showing rankings. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So it's about how to have the conversation with a client where you're actually demonstrating that you're being successful for them without focusing on rankings. And that's just a continuation of the other questions about that. I would talk about Google Analytics and about numbers of leads and about numbers of phone calls. Real business results. See, ranking is not a business result. Ranking is not a business result. Phone calls, leads, impressions of your website, those are business results.
Yeah. Okay. One from Brian here. Is it necessary to get the paid version of Majestic?
Well, not unless you're doing a what I would call a penalty study. No. I mean, I don't use it except to study penalties for clients.
Yeah, okay. One point here from Diana. Kenny, how do we get your bonuses?
That you haven't actually talked about. Nice.
Jeez.
I mean, really, jeez. I mean, well, okay, so let's see. Other than the 61% discount and the fact that I threw in 2 years or what are we up to? No, a year and a half of archive. I have to have someone count up the number of individual videos, that is, and list that all out on slide, I guess. But, yeah, so other than that, I mean, come on, really? All right, so what is it, Kenny? What do you got?
I don't know. We might throw something in, a little surprise gift at the end. Something I might give access to Internet Tycoon for a month or two or something like that.
Okay. You could give us some more links. We could throw in a link pack. No, I'm sorry. Sorry.
quite a few people asking whether there's going to be a replay. We hope so. We're really hoping that Andrea has recorded this. So I think, you know, yeah, we'll put it up on my blog. Put it up on my blog and we'll put it up for a couple of days or something. So I'm only interested, this is from Tim, I'm only interested in websites that develop leads for businesses. You're a man of my own heart. Will your help, will your info help in this endeavor? I know that for sure, I can answer that because yes, I've been through a lot of the course and my team have been through a lot of the course and it absolutely helps you with lead generation for sure.
Yep. Yep. And whatever your website conversion is, that's, yep, whatever it is.
Here's a good question from Sarah. Can you be an author and get author rank in more than one market?
Yeah, it's not really market specific. It doesn't really work that way.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you can talk about real estate, and at the same time you can talk about marketing.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you might want to be doing those from different destinations in order to keep the, you know, you're basically, you have almost like two personas, even though you are the same person. You make that clear, you're the same person.
Yeah.
But you can absolutely, in fact, here's a little secret. There's what I call a transfer of halo. And so once you have a halo within one market, people automatically assume that you're an expert in everything else.
Yeah.
And so that's where you can actually enter a different market and rapidly leverage your first success into a second one.
Great. So what you're saying is you could have a Google Plus account and you could attach it to different websites.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, I mean, yeah, you go in there right now, you can add any number. So that's not a problem. And in fact, if I was going to be real estate and marketing or, you know, whatever, I would make those two different destinations probably, unless there was a really strong connection, unless it was like marketing for real estate professionals, then I would be just one and narrow my focus. But that's only, it's not really about author rank and all other stuff. It's really about having the right experience for your visitors who are interested in one thing or the other.
Yeah, okay. One from Michael here. You probably addressed this previously, but how do you order the full LL3 Pro course?
The link on your screen. Yeah.
The link is seobt.co / Kenny3 and then the letter O. I'll put it in the chat bar again for you there. So it's in your chat bar. That's Kenny3 and then a little O, not a zero.
A little O.
Yes, exactly. let's just see what others we've got. We'll wrap up after a few more of these. One from Josh here. As for engagement, what tool would you recommend for allowing people to post comments on your site? Facebook comments seem interesting and engaging. Do you have any thoughts opposed? By site, I mean blog for engagement.
Yeah, and you know, the better person to actually answer that is Dan, and that is covered in week 5 on abstracting and blogging, because it's that, or is it in week 4? It's actually week 4 or 5. I think it's in week 4, actually, where we actually set up the site, set up the blogging site. So there are a couple different things that I can mention in passing that I'd have to actually go look at our own content, because I didn't actually record that part. And so the first thing is, you know, in terms of commenting, you're right, there are two different ways to go. You can use you know, WordPress comments, or you can use Facebook comments. We've even seen people do both. I'd have to go look and see what Dan makes reference to as the latest and best practice and whatever it is using in week 4 or 5. And you know what? That's why we do updates too, because it could change.
Yeah.
So I don't really actually offhand know the answer to that. Dan is the one that would be able to answer that off the top of his head.
Great, okay. One from Steve here. What's a good source for learning Google Analytics?
Actually, the best book in the world on that is, unfortunately, not committed to memory because it's a long title, but I can look it up because it's on my iPad, believe it or not, where I mostly read it. And so we do not have a course ourselves because, frankly, I don't think we can do better than this book. And, you know, why redo, right? So let me see if I can actually find it. Something like Web Analytics, if I can get the author's name, that would be That would be the easiest thing. If I could just find the bloody thing. I have a lot of books.
Well, I'll tell you what I can do here. I've got someone I know who absolutely loves you, Leslie. And he's a Google Analytics guru. That's all he does. That's his job. That's his business. And he does it for big corporates and all the rest of it. And I'll get him to do some content for you for your course.
Oh, that'd be perfect. Yeah, great.
We can put it in there.
So in the meantime, Advanced Web Metrics with Google Analytics by Brian Clifton. Best book ever. I mean, I have about five, and that one is the best book ever. And Dan and I both recommend that book. It's Brian Clifton, C-L-I-F-T-O-N. And no, that's not an affiliate link, so, yeah. Knock yourself out. But Advanced Web Metrics, Advanced Web Metrics with Google Analytics. But to your point, absolutely. You know, Kenny, if you have a kind of a preferred resource, we'd love to have some special.
Well, I'll do an intro on email after this.
Sure, good. Excellent.
Great,
thanks.
Okay. What would you recommend about increasing lack of data on keywords in analytics programs? Where you're hiding this data?
Yeah, the not provided. Yes, I know. Well, I hate it. One of the biggest things, I take it personally because I created this thing, a special process for following analytics. But that's, never mind, I won't get into that. It's my own personal problem. I feel slighted that they've taken that away. But the reality is you can do without it. And so for now at least, it looks like it's not going to get too blown out of proportion. It looks like I'm the only guy in the world, or a very small percentage of people in the world, that actually stay logged in all the time. Because my Google Calendar basically runs my life, right? And so it gets to be on all the time. But there are a bunch of other metrics you can track. And so the stuff in analytics over time, maybe it becomes only a sampling, but it's only the keywords that are gone. It's like, okay, well, we can replace that to some extent with Webmaster Tools data, which is not nearly as good. I will grant that. But there are a lot of other ways we can go address the metrics question without having the keyword data in Google Analytics. And so, yeah, it's a loss, and I hope that someday that gets resolved so we can get it back. And I think that there's a possibility of that without hanging, you know, going too crazy. Because if you get me down that path, I'll go into a rant. But as it stands, we don't. It's not critical. It's a loss, but it's not a critical loss.
Yeah. Okay. I'm from Heidi here. How many different areas of interest do you suggest we can focus on efficiently?
You know, that depends on how big a team you want to build ultimately. I mean, Michael is actually doing, I guess, really kind of three in his business. You know, Becky is doing many because she has one per client, so she's got a couple of dozen and is expanding from there. You know, she thought that 2012 was going to end her business, and now instead she has a goal to triple it this year instead. And so she's outsourced everything. Phil Weaver, we didn't talk about today, runs, like I said, I'm pretty sure the number is 8 independent web businesses all at the same time and doesn't do any of them itself as far as I'm told.
Okay. Someone asking for my blog details. It's kenny.co, kenny.co. That was from Nolan. Diana loves my accent. Thanks, Diana.
Yes, it was cute.
From Alvaro here, I have several e-commerce websites reaching several European countries, each in a country-specific domain, Portuguese, Spanish, French, German, in two different niches. Recently, the French one for a niche and the Spanish one for the other went down. Any suggestions regarding the new HREF lang? Do you think it's really needed?
Okay. Yeah, and that is actually talked about on the Google support blog about that. However, if you actually are finding a loss of ranking on one rel to another, then I think what you need to do is just need to do better marketing and better outreach and a more coherent content strategy, or maybe just a stronger content strategy relative to that one domain. And particularly, we're talking about very disparate languages. You will find that your outreach is going to be much more effective if you're actually doing content in that language, right? And so if I wanted to actually go command the SEO market in Spain, I'm going to have to do Spanish content. I'm probably going to have to do it from a Spanish TLD.
Yeah.
Just, you know, no way around it.
He's put here as well that I interlinked them with flag icons at the top, which had keywords on title already removed.
Yeah, I mean, interlinking them is not a problem. Lots of big websites do that, and it's okay, again, as long as you've been completely above board about, you know, why you're doing it and that the relationship is that you're the same company in different markets and that kind of thing. As long as you're doing the right things there and you're doing – by right things, I mean as long as it makes 100% total sense to a human that you did it that way. Yeah. And if you're doing any trick at all, that can be described as being, well, I did that for search. If that expression leaves your lips at any point while building a business online, you are on the slippery slope. It's just a matter of how far.
Okay. Is your belief that Google really is trying to kill SEOs to boost their AdWords revenue?
No, that's the tinfoil hat gang. And it's like, that's what they want you to believe. And so, no, it's not. Now, are they doing things internally that I think the FTC will find are not acceptable practices? Probably. I mean, it would surprise me. You know the expression, right? Corruption, right? Mm-hmm. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But yeah. that said, no, they don't really give a flying whatever about SEOs.
What about the not provided?
The not provided, that is a that is an evil plan, but it's not an evil plan directed at us. It's an evil plan about Facebook, and it's about targeting. It's, you know what, I don't really want to go public with that yet. That's something that Dan and I have talked about privately, but no, I think that there's a grand plan that Google has there as a defensive move, and we'll see if it backfires on them or not. I think it probably will.
Right, okay. What for business team outsourcing, what process do you recommend? Do you include this in the course?
Week 9 is divided and devoted entirely to team building. And there's, you know, the kind of outsourcing we cover runs the gamut. We talk about, you know, hiring. In fact, let's see, is it next week? Next week or the week after, one of our webinars is with Corey, who has an entirely automated hiring practice for writers, which is really cool. And so that's one of the things that will actually slip into week 9 as well. It's actually part of our master's track program that has been thrown into this offer too at the last minute. So I don't have it on a slide, but that's, we also talk about MTurk, and for all of you people in the UK, yes, there's a straightforward way, 3 straightforward ways for you to get access to MTurk even from outside the United States. We cover that. We have an entire webinar series, which was originally part of the master's track, which we've expanded on a little bit and put in there, that has people from all different walks. We talk about, you know, Philippine outsourcing with John Jonas. We talk about one of your, you know, countrymen in the UK who does outsourcing at a fantastically high scale. And then we have our own content that Dan and I have recorded from our experience in building companies over the years.
Great. Okay. We'll wrap it up, I think. We'll go through two more questions because it's getting late now. Well, it's late for me anyway. It's night here. Would this work for, this is from Heidi, would this work for many small affiliate product sites?
Again, many small sites, that's not the what you should do. What you should really do is pick one and make it work, and make it work well. You know, and then go on to the next one if you still want another, Because, like, you know, I won't say just run only one business, because God knows Phil doesn't do that, and he does it very effectively. He runs several. But what we teach is prioritize and serialize. So pick the most important one, do it first to exclusion of everything else, and then go on.
Yeah.
And is affiliate marketing the right business model? Well, once you actually, after you become successful, you'll have the opportunity to decide whether you want to go into drop shipping or some other sort of business model instead of affiliate marketing, and you will immediately be able to multiply your take-home pay by doing so.
Yeah, great. Okay, so I think we will wrap it up there. People here just saying thanks for a great webinar. It's a pleasure, and it's been a pleasure having you, you know, give us your time for 2.5 hours, Leslie. It's been really, really good information. And if you want to get that course, I would highly, highly, highly recommend it, because it just keeps adding stuff. Well, throughout the webinar, you've added more stuff, and I've added some stuff in there that's going to get added as well. And for that price, it's just really, really cheap. And you can get that at seobt.co/Kenny3LittleO.
Fantastic.
Little low. Little low. So thank you all very much for attending as well. I know, some people in Australia, they started off at 5 a.m. in the morning watching this, and, there's a lot of people, it's throughout the night in Asia and stuff, and a lot of people in Europe as well, it's now night time, and you guys in America, it's your daytime. Enjoy the rest of your day. Leslie, thank you very, very much for this.
Thanks a lot for having me in, Kenny. Really enjoyed it.
And what we will do is we'll try our best to get a replay up at some point. And I will speak to you all soon. Thank you very much for attending.